This is Survival Stuff with Indiana Jim. My real name is James C. Jones. I write books for Skyhorse Publishing under the name James C. Jones. I do live in Indiana, but Indiana Jones was taken. So it's Survival Stuff with Indiana Jim. And we're going to talk about some very important things today. Particularly, we're going to talk about what you should have in your bedside drawer when you wake up in the middle of the night and bad things are happening. Just to fill you in on who we are and where we are and how we are, I am the founder of Live Free USA, which is, you can get to our website at americansurvivor.org. That's americansurvivor.org. Live Free USA is a tax-deductible organization that advocates and educates for individual and family preparedness and self-reliance. So that's what we're about. We've been doing that since 1968. By the way, all those of you out there that want to become involved in the leadership, the founders are getting a little older. We definitely have positions for leaders, positions for chapter leaders and instructors. So we do a lot of preparedness programs. We do events, but we definitely would like to expand. We think, especially after the COVID-19 thing, that everybody recognizes that what we've been about for over 50 years is really what everybody needs to be about. Our motto is preparedness, self-reliance, and responsibility. We're not doomsday preppers. We are reasonable, logical, survival educators or preparedness advocates or self-reliance practitioners, if you will. Responsibility is a big part of our philosophy, and we believe that the stronger you make your community and the more you help other people, the safer you are. We believe that self-reliant families are the foundation of a free and safe society. So that's our philosophy. Again, americansurvivor.org. You can also contact me at survivorjj@aol.com. That's survivorjj@aol.com. If you have questions or maybe you have a suggestion for a program you'd like us to do, you go to our website, you'll also see literally hundreds of articles in our newsletter. Our members get a newsletter every 2 months. They can also, it's downloadable from the website, and they can join on the website, or they can actually join by mail. But either way, we will mail this to you, or you can just download it off the website. We have articles every 2 months. This comes out. Our membership for Live Free USA is only $20 or $50 for 3 years. We haven't raised the dues since the 80s sometime. So we've been around for a while. So one of the other programs I did recently was Everyday Carry. And we talked about the stuff you should have with you on every day in your pockets and on your person to respond to emergencies that pop up while you're walking around. You're not always carrying your big, survival pack or your evacuation pack or all that kind of stuff. Sometimes you're just, going to the store, going to work, visiting friends, whatever, and something bad's happening. Maybe I got something in my pockets, especially nowadays with the cargo pants. Wow, I love cargo pants because you can carry a whole survival kit in the pants. But we covered that on a different show. Today we're going to cover bedside drawer. It's an area that very few preparedness advocates and survival instructors have addressed. I think we're unique in that respect. I think it was back in the maybe 2006, 7, 8 that we started talking about what's in your bedside drawer. I cover it extensively in one of my books from Skyhorse Publishing, The Total Survival, which if you go to Skyhorse Publishing website, or Amazon, you can buy that book. I actually have 4 books in publication right now. And this isn't about selling books, but that's a good reference if you want to go further, again, beyond our website. But we talk about bedside drawer. I used to actually have a little drawer that I carried around and did presentations. And then I'd take the drawer and I'd show everybody what was in there. But just think about it. You spend eight hours a night or more in bed, and bad things happen. Disaster doesn't have a time schedule, I can't have a hurricane or a tornado or a fire or a home invasion because, you know, Charlie's asleep. That wouldn't be fair. That's not the way disasters work. Okay, I've had the experience of waking up with a house full of smoke. Fortunately, it wasn't really the house was on fire, but boy, the adrenaline gets going. I woke up where I heard the sirens going off that there was a tornado coming through in the middle of the night. So all of us can have those kind of situations. So what you have in your bedside drawer, you don't want that thing filled up with junk and be rummaging around in there, and you don't want things that you really are going to need, especially if you have to evacuate the house quickly and they're spread out all over the house. For instance, fire. Fire doubles every 2 minutes, okay? Or sometimes every minute, depending on how close the fuel is together. So if you've been asleep for 10, 15, 20 minutes before you wake up and the fire's been going, it's pretty well going. And believe me, you do not have time to rummage around looking for things. Where did you put your car keys? Where did you put this? You should have a plan in place with your family. We smell smoke. The house is filled with smoke. This is what we do. You can even practice a drill. Blindfold yourself. Crawl through the house. Have everybody crawl through the house and find their way to the front door or whatever door that's closest and get out, because the fire will double very quickly. The air will be full of, you know, for instance, if you wake up in bed in the middle of the night and it's kind of hot and there's a lot of smoke and you wake up and you sit up, lots of times that's where the fire department finds the people, all dead, because as soon as they sat up, the air up here was 350 degrees. The air down here was maybe 140. They woke up, they sat, took a breath of that air, their lungs shriveled up to the size of a grapefruit or smaller, shriveled up from that heat, and they were dead, just like that. You got to roll out of bed and crawl to the front door. So that you've got to have a plan for fire. You should have a plan for home intrusions so that you can all get together at one place. You have to have a plan for, you know, a tornado, any other kind of things. You should have a plan with your family so everybody knows what to do. Anticipation, by the way, is the first of my 10 principles of survival. You need to anticipate those things. They will happen. They do happen to people, and people do die unnecessarily for lack of preparedness. So your bedside drawer is a little survival kit. It's the first thing you can get to. It's, you know, there it is. Okay, first of all, what you should have on top of your, every night when you go to bed, you want to have your car keys, your wallet, to wear glasses, your glasses, and your cell phone. And really, it's a good idea to keep your landline, because sometimes when in the worst kind of disasters, the cell phones don't work. So you've got two ways to communicate right away. If you wake up in the middle of the night, you've got two ways to communicate, getting a call 911 and get help. But these are the things that should be right on top, you know, wallet, keys, glasses. Because, you know, the house on fire, you run out of the house, you left your car keys somewhere. Hopefully you didn't leave your car keys in the car, because some of my neighbors have actually left their car keys in the car. And the car left all by itself in the middle of the night because they left their keys in there. And people come around and check, believe it, people come around and check your car at least once a week to see if it's unlocked and to see if there's any keys in it. It's something people don't like to think about. Cars disappear. But have your car keys right there. You grab your keys, you grab your wallet, you grab your cell phone, and maybe you're out in front of your house and it's a bad thing. You're watching your house burn down, or maybe you got out of there because an intruder was in there and you were able to get out another door. Whatever the situation is, you got your phone, you got your car, your vehicle, and you got your wallet. If not, you're out there, your house is burning down, or whatever bad things happen, and you don't have a wallet, you don't have any money, you don't have a cell phone to contact people for help, you don't have your car keys, so your car is still stuck in the garage, and it may go down with the rest of everything. So you want to have those things. And while I'm on the subject of phones, whether a cell phone or a landline, I'm wondering if this thing is going to ring while I'm doing this presentation. First thing you do when an intruder's in the house, you call 911. You gather your family, okay? You call 911 and you tell them where you are in the house. and you tell them there's an intruder, and you tell them where you're on the house, how many people, I have two children and my wife, and we're all in the main bedroom in the north end of the house, and I have, and if you have a gun, you tell them, I have a firearm, and I'm gonna stay here, and then they'll keep you on the line and tell you, the police are here, the police are entering your home, it can prevent a lot of bad things happening. So you need to tell them, and then stay on the line, tell them your arm, tell them where you are in the house, so that the police will come in and recognize the intruder is not you, okay? The other thing about intruders, while I'm on that, is don't go looking for the intruder. You see it on TV all the time. Take my gun, I'm gonna go find that sucker. I'm gonna take care of him. Any of you who are in Vietnam, realize that the ambusher always had the advantage over the patrol, okay? Again, you're moving around, he's moving around, you have what they call a contact battle or whatever, and you need a gun battle in your house. You don't need that, okay? You stay in one spot. Somebody comes down the hall, you warn them. I'm here, I'm armed, I've called the police. And they leave or they stay there. Your family's protected. That's your job, is to defend the family, not to catch the bad guy. Okay? That's a very important thing that you should keep in mind in your plan. How we'll all get together. We'll go in this room, or we'll all gather in this room. But we don't want people all wandering around, maybe shooting each other by mistake. And we'll talk a little more about that in a minute. Okay, what are we gonna have on that bedside drawer? Okay, one of the things that you wanna have is an N95 respirator. I could spend a lot of time talking about N95s. In fact, I did in a couple of other episodes. N95s are real respirators. They're not masks. The mask we wore during COVID-19, better than nothing. N95s are NIOSH, National Institute of Safety and Health, certified to keep out dust, mist, and smoke, and that kind of thing. They do not keep out toxic fumes that come from burning furniture. They do not keep out carbon monoxide. They do not suffice when the oxygen has all been eaten up by the fire. And all those things are happening rapidly when you wake up and the smoke is filling the house. You have 300 degree high temperatures up here. And by the way, don't pay attention to television where you see people all walking around and there's furniture's all on fire and they're still walking around talking to each other and gotta get out of here. It's too late. If your sofa is on fire, you will not be able to see below maybe 3 feet off the floor. It'll be that much smoke and hot gas will be there, and it'll keep coming down. You don't have time to look around for these things, and you have to stay down and get out. But this will help you, so you're not breathing dust and carbonized material and all that kind of bad stuff is going to make you choke and cough and get into your lungs. It'll also help a little bit of protection against the heat, the hot air that could damage your lungs. So you want to have these for everybody, and they know how to put them on real quick. Keep them in a bag so they don't get dirty, but this should be in your bedside drawer. You can even get, some of them come with a charcoal filters. You see this gray? This means there's a charcoal filter on this N95, along with a small speaking vent here. And this, if you can get these actually will protect you to some extent from those cyanides and ammonias and all those, some of those chemicals that are also gonna be in that smoke from your fire. This is another one, that's small, full flat. I also, by the way, advocate you keep full flat respirators in all your coat pockets, so you, in case you're in another building. I've had that experience in a building. Oh, the building's on fire. I can put this on. 9/11. I noticed that some of the people coming out of the World Trade Center actually were wearing N95s because they had probably been there during the previous bombing attempt. And they knew that there was going to be a lot of dust and toxic smoke and stuff like that. So they had actually probably had them in their desk drawer. It was sort of interesting to watch that. One of the other things, of course, is you want to make sure your smoke alarms and your carbon monoxide detectors are up to date. And to check the batteries, I would recommend twice a year check the batteries, putting new batteries in them. I mean, this is going to save your life. This is going to give you that first warning. This thing goes off way before the smoke will wake you up. And you'll have that advantage of having a couple more minutes, and not that much more time, but a couple more minutes to gather your stuff together. Now, what are you going to have in that bedside drawer? Of course, you have the respirators, something to put on to protect you. Flashlights so that you can see through the smoke and people can see you. And have a good one, not a cheap one. This is a, and I don't want to blow the camera completely out, but have a really good flashlight. This is one of the tactical flashlights that I keep in my drawer. This is another one. Actually, if you click it, there you go. If you click it just right, it actually does a blinking function, which would really get the attention of the fire department. It will also disorient. You shine this right in the eyes of an intruder, and it will disorient them. So that's sort of a cool thing. Another flashlight I've got, which is from Stealth Angel, which I don't usually recommend particular companies, but they really have a lot of great survival light supplies. Is this this has that blinking function. As I mentioned, it also has another kind of light here. It's a different colors, red, and green that lights up. It has a glass breaker, so you can break windows. Good one to have in your vehicle too, by the way. It has a compass, which is not all that useful. I don't think you're going to need a compass to find your way out of your house. It has a seatbelt cutter. It has a magnet, so you can stick it onto something. Very great flashlight it's solar rechargeable. It's also, you can recharge it off your computer. Great to have in your car, great to have in your bedside drawer. So you want a really good flashlight in a bedside drawer. Those of you who are over 50, or even not over 50, bottle of aspirin. You wake up in the middle of the night. Chest pains, by the way, considerable number of heart attacks happen to people in the middle of the night. They wake up with the chest pains or having a heart attack. Aspirin is one of the few things that even as an EMT, but also just as an amateur first aider, you can recommend to people having chest pains and having a heart attack. Take about four of these. This will help prevent, it thins the blood, it makes your blood move better. It can save your life. So you call 911, tell them you're having a heart attack, tell them you took some aspirin, because you may not be conscious when they get there. Light up your flashlight so they can find you quickly. Stay on the line, they'll keep you on the line. They may or may not have to knock your door down to get in. But point is, now they're coming, and you've done something to save your. Are we over 50? Save yourself. Bottle of aspirin's in the bedside drawer. Okay. Now, we mentioned about having to knock the door down or whatever. What if, you got the house on fire, you can't get out through the normal door, you're going to have to go out through the window, you're going to have to go out through the wall maybe, who knows what. You want to have a tool. You want to have something to pry doors open, smash doors open, whatever. You can get these. These are basically, you can get these at Harbor Freight, most hardware stores. It's got an axe, a hammer, a crowbar, a nail puller. They're pretty heavy. It's a good weapon too, by the way. Nasty weapon. But you have one of these in that drawer, and you can knock that window out, knock the frame out, jump out the window. All kinds of, you can go through the wall, actually, and chop your way if you had to get out. You have something like that. You may want to be a little more conservative. You can also get one of these small pry bars, which you can also smash things. I think they're maybe $5. I don't know, maybe not that much. But anyhow, you can have something like this. You can go to survival preparedness vendors online and get one of these, which is actually what they call an escape tool. And the nice thing about the escape tool is it has a gas thing, a wrench to turn off your gas, okay? And it has a wrench to turn off your water supply not necessarily going to need to turn your water supply off all the time, but the gas, very important. As a member of the local civilian emergency response teams, it was one of our jobs when we had a flood and tornado to go around and check and turn off the gas for all the houses that were affected, where they were abandoned by people, but the gas was still on. When a house floods, the basement floods, the water heater gets knocked out, the gas dryer, in one case, the gas dryer floated, broke the pipe, and the house blew up. So you want to be able to turn your gas off. It's one of the things, if you're leaving your house or you're abandoning, or it's going to be, you know, it's been damaged or whatever, turn the gas off. I usually try to keep a little wrench. It doesn't have to necessarily be a special wrench, but you keep a wrench that will fit your gas meter. Have it by the gas meter so that you can always, it'll always be there. Okay, so those are the main things you want to have in your bedside drawer. Okay, now the other thing is, we talk about weapons. Okay, what do you want to have? You know, defend yourself. Now, I'm a reasonable survival person. I know we've all got different situations and we feel different about firearms. And we've got, you know, maybe you got teenage kids who are inclined to sneak out and then come in and sneak back into the house later at night. Or you got somebody that works nights and comes back and forth. Maybe you just want to go with a heavy duty pepper spray device, not the little self-defense, street self-defense ones, one of the bigger ones, okay? This might be, maybe you want to have a choice, like, well, I think it might be my wife coming home late from work, but, you know, I don't want to necessarily go out here with a gun, you know. So maybe I want to have a pepper spray that's got some range to it, so you don't have to grapple with somebody, and, you know, but in case it turns out to be somebody else, you know, maybe the neighbors called and thought they saw an intruder, and now police officers entered your house, and you know, you don't want to get in a gunfight with him. At any rate, point is, this may be a good option. I would say that even if you have a gun a firearm in your bedside drawer, you should also have an alternative, like a large size pepper spray. Okay, let's talk about guns for a while. In your bedside drawer, this is what I have in my bedside drawer. It's a 40 caliber Glock, and it has a flashlight on it and a laser beam on it, on the rail underneath. And this is what I've got for my firearm. Now, just for extra safety, I don't keep one in the pipe. I figure in the second I can jack the slide back and load one in the pipe. Because, you know, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to be half asleep. My mind isn't really, you know how it is. This is why the Navy SEALs, ask Osama bin Laden what happens at 3 in the morning. Okay? They know it takes you a certain length of time for you to get through whatever they call denial. We'll talk about in another session sometime. That denial happens in your head. And when you're asleep, it takes even longer for you to get to that point of deciding what and analyzing what's happening, deciding on action and taking action, and it's longer. So you definitely want to make sure that you don't take the wrong action. And one of the other principles is do the next right thing and don't do the next wrong thing. Okay, so anyhow, this is what I have. You can have a revolver. Revolvers are very reliable. You don't need a 40 round clip, some huge firepower. You're talking about saving your family, discouraging an intruder, dealing with an intruder, whatever. And believe me, if you need more than what's in one magazine in your gun, there's something really radically wrong with your situation. But nevertheless, firearm is a good thing to have. A 38 revolver is a really nice choice because it's very reliable, it's simple. And you can maintain it. By the way, maintaining, you want to check those flashlights and make sure they're still working every once in a while, maybe every couple of months, just check it, see, make sure if it still works. Check that drawer, but you shouldn't have other junk in that drawer. You should be able to reach there in the dark and get what you want. So that's the bedside drawer. Those are the things you need in your bedside drawer. Those are the things you need on top of your bedside table at night, so that if you are caught with a situation, disaster, emergency situation, in the middle of the night, you're covered. So until next time, this is Indiana Jim for Life and Freedom, and we're out.